we'll begin with some pretty great concerns over the status of Gila Regional Medical Center, including the behavioral health unit that was closed. But you have some new information to share with us today. What can you tell us?
That's right. At their regular meeting a couple of weeks ago, the governing board of the hospital, which is composed of the Grant County Commission, they took over from the Board of Trustees in May. And at that time, they hired an interim CEO from Health Tech S3 Management Company, Scott Manis. He and the new governing board appear to be making progress on a host of certifications, designations, and overall changes to the hospital's daily operations that appear set to improve the hospital's finances by millions of dollars. And these changes are happening fast. Many of them were in the works for years and were stalled out. One of those changes is a new contract that will provide telepsych services in the emergency department. So this will fill a gap left when the behavioral health unit was temporarily shuttered. That is set to go online within weeks. In addition to that, the governing board decided to hire a full management company. They arrived at the hospital this week. They are also from Health Tech S3. And they will be reviewing the hospital's operations and moving it forward with things like becoming designated a level 4 trauma center, gaining rural health clinic status, and completing their transition to a critical access hospital, all of which will mean millions of dollars more in reimbursement opportunities for the hospital in the very near future.
All right. Moving on to an issue that seemed to be dead in the water, pardon the pun, but the New Mexico CAP entity is moving forward with an appeal on the Gila River Diversion Project. What's new there?
Last month, the New Mexico CAP entity, which had plans to build a series of diversions along the Gila River, met for a special meeting to discuss the path forward since the New Mexico Interstate Stream Commission voted earlier in June to defund the National Environmental Policy Act process related to their project. That stopped it dead in the water. However, the entity decided that they would move forward with a dispute resolution process rather than simply agreeing to terminate their agreements. Tuesday, the entity met again. They heard from their lawyer, Pete Domenici, on what this dispute resolution process might look like. He and Executive Director Anthony Gutierrez both intimated that perhaps nothing was really going to come of this and that it might give the impression to the ISC that the entity doesn't want to participate in a new role, meaning the ISC is hoping that the entity can form itself as a administrative water planning group in the region to help determine which non-diversion projects get funding out of the $70 million remaining for the diversion or non-diversion project.
Such a complicated issue. Thank you for your updates, Jeffrey. Now we'll move over to Michaela Grijalva. And Michaela, you did a story on how Silver City responded during the Spanish flu. We see a lot of comparisons to what we're going through today. What did you find?
Yeah, so I went through a lot of the old newspapers provided to me by the Silver City Daily Press and Independent, and what I found is that Grant County as a whole actually social distanced almost 2 months longer than the rest of the state. So while the governor of New Mexico at the time gave the green light for most schools and public meetings to commence around mid-November, November 15th-ish, a small spike of cases in Silver City actually prevented Grant County from taking part in that. So they didn't open up fully until the next year. They opened up schools around January 2nd and didn't open up theaters and stuff like that until mid-January. And that actually prevented a more outspread outbreak in the area.
You're saying you can really look back at the history and show that what they chose to do made a difference and saved lives?
Absolutely. Especially if you another thing that they were looking at too is Mogollon, which is about 90 miles away from the city, was suffering very greatly from the flu. So I'm sure that had some type of influence on their decision as well, but absolutely their increased social distancing more than likely saved lives, as pointed out by the health officials at the time as well.
Well, we hear the phrase over and over again, history repeats itself. So interesting to go back and take a look. Thank you for providing us with that bit of history.
Of course.